All right. Hello, this is Lee Fuller, and welcome to the Live Stream Your Ministry podcast, where we believe that we have a message worth sharing, and live streaming is the way to do it. So today, I want to introduce to you a young man I've been listening to and watching. You know, sometimes we're asked, hey, who do you pay attention to? Well, this is one of the guys I pay attention to. So I had to make sure I got him on and share his, so he can share his wisdom and information with us. We have Mr. AJ. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing excellent. And yourself?
I am doing well. So glad to be here.
Thank you for the invite.
So first of all, I went to his YouTube channel. So when the world shut down, everybody was looking to see how to go online, how to effectively live stream their ministry. And I kept seeing this guy pop up, you know, and I didn't see like the 5 minute tutorial. Like I saw a 28 minute and a 50 minute. I say, okay, well, this guy's gonna walk me all the way from A to Z. And that's what I think he's been able to do to help so many churches really get up and get going. So on today's episode, I wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit just about some of the transition you're seeing in church ministry and just what churches can do to adjust, right? So first question I want to ask you is, you know, how long have you been in media ministry?
How long? Well, I'm 42. I'm a preacher's kid. So I would consider being a part of media ministry when I was old enough to reach up and turn on the sound system. So I'll say six.
Okay. So you know, we have a similar story. My dad was a volunteer for media ministry. So he was like, hey, come up to the balcony and sit right there. Right. So I officially became a part of the media ministry as well. So kindred spirits. I understand, brother. I understand. I was looking at, I picked up a copy of your book, the modern media ministry made easy. And I was like, listen, I'm trying to simplify as much as possible. So this is right up my alley. And you mentioned that you were a musician.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
My whole family is musical. I have been, my dad played. He was actually a minister of music before he accepted the calling to being a pastor. My mom sings. Both of my sisters sing, and we all took piano lessons. I used to get spankings at piano lessons because I used to erase the song I had to do, and they just blew past me. And I thought my piano teacher was just mean to me. But years passed, I stuck with it. They did it. And before my teacher passed, she was like, I was harder on you because I saw that you were playing something off your top of your head and you weren't watching the music. So I was like, man, you should have told me that all the times you were giving me spankings. But yeah, so I've been a choir director, minister of music at a couple of churches ever since I was like 13.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. So you understand the whole spectrum of media ministry, right?
Yeah. I would say concepts of it. I'm still constantly learning, but yeah, I feel that I understand some fundamentals. But yeah, I would say so. I don't want to ever come off like AJ just knows everything. No.
Right. No. let me clarify a little bit. What I mean is, so I'm not a singer. So I, you know, in the mornings I pray, dear Lord, you know, if you want to give me the voice, I'm open. Right. Mm-hmm. So I've always been either behind a camera or behind the board. And sometimes there's this, the people up front and the people behind the board, and they don't always see things the same.
Understand.
Right. So from that vantage point, it's probably a good thing that you've been in front on actually in the band or playing the piano or something and have the access behind it. So I think that's a unique vantage point that you have.
Yeah.
Sure, sure. So, as I was looking at your content, different things, the term modern media ministry. So what do you mean by that?
I used to always have conversations with my dad, and you know, to where he was preaching, I used to just tell my dad, it's like, look, what's the point of all this Bible stuff if we can't find it to be applicable right now? Like my teachers in college at Hampton and stuff like that, one of the classic questions I would be like, we're talking, yes, Mr. Holmes, can you give me a practical app of how I'm going to use that now? If they couldn't answer that question, unfortunately, my mind would shut off. Because I don't, it's almost kind of like Henry Ford was saying, like, why should I waste this storing just meaningless information? It has nothing to do with anything. And unfortunately, I don't want to say that about scripture, but if you can't tell me how Proverbs 1 or Proverbs 31 I can use that right now, mm-hmm. you're just telling me a story. And some right. people can't accept that. And I just really feel that modern media ministry is the media ministry that most people still live in is, oh, I just turn on the mics, I turn on the sound system, and some people turn on the cameras. That's it. Mm-hmm. And that's not modern. And because media ministry is a ministry in itself. And right. most people just think it's just a on and off button, and it's not that.
Right. Right. Yeah. You know, so I lead a team of at our local church, and we have to constantly show or reiterate that this is ministry, right? This is an important part of ministry. We had a training, and I talked about how the priests, there were different jobs, right? And I can't remember which one, the Merai or the Kohathites, one of them, but their job was to light the lampstands and, you know, set up and take down. So I said, hey, pastor's doing his high priest stuff, right? But we're the one, because when they talked about the lampstand, I was like, so see the lights controller right there? You know, we're doing that job, right? Yep. We all have a job to play. And but getting them to understand that is ministry. So when I ask you to be here early to make sure things are in place, you know, I'm pretty sure the pastor during the week is preparing his sermon, right? It's important that we prepare ourselves for the ministry so that we don't have a distraction. One of the guys I listened to on YouTube, he talks about a distraction-free service, you know, so we try to make sure there's not distraction. So that ministry is important. And I like how you put that, because it is ministry. And the 21st century, or now, I guess this drives me to my next point. COVID happened, is happening, real deal, real thing, right? So this concept of modern, I think, is taking on an evolution, you know? So what are your thoughts on how do you see post-pandemic, right? Media ministry looking in the local church?
I see it the way I feel we should have been 10 years ago. Meaning that, and I say this as well in the nicest way possible, that a lot of people do media ministry as a band-aid for a broken leg. We can't meet. Let's do Zoom. Let's get an iPad. Let's do a camera just so we can get our members. That's a nice start, but okay. Your media ministry, just like your church website, is not for your members. The Tesla website is not for the people who already own the Tesla. It's for the people who want to get information on getting one. So your media ministry is just like, just because of modern technology, you want to buy a new TV, you want to buy a PlayStation 5, you want to do whatever, you go research it first. And that's what I like to call your digital footprint. The church, your media ministry, helps facilitate your digital footprint. So when people want to know about your ministry, it's not just word of mouth anymore. Where I can look you up and see what you're doing.
Right.
Just like you just said, it's like you saw my digital footprint of what I do well before you met me, because modern digital precedes your ministry. And unfortunately, a lot of people aren't doing anything. So now, instead of knocking on you, the old fashioned way, it's like, you're going to have to be knocking on doors to get people to come. And they're like, whoa, hold on. I need to take your temperature before you even come in and touch my door. I need to sanitize it. To avoid that, it's like, hey, it's just as easy to take less effort, but to reach more by just, let's make this present so that we can share the message. Like, and even in that book, it talks about, let your message outlive you. My dad passed in 2003. He has tons of cassette tapes that I haven't got a chance to digitize, but that message was still impactful, not just to A Street Baptist Church, where he was a pastor. That word can still transcend time, but no one can hear it if you're only being selfish and keeping it to only the people who are in my, who are my members. We're the body, meaning that you're a toe, I'm a finger. I can't be, the finger can't be the heart. I can't be the toe. And instead of us being like, the only way you can hear this is if you come into these four walls, I'm going to restrict hearing God's word if you don't abide by my rules. That's not anything in the Bible does it says anything like that. So the media ministry is meant to evangelize, which is, or to be a missionary, which is why I termed it an e-missionary, where we're, instead of flying to other countries and sharing the good news, we can turn on the camera and share the good news. Yes, the members can watch it too, but it's not meant just for members. It's meant, how can we go to the highways and hedges and share the message?
Man, you know, there was a couple strong words I heard in there, brother, brother AJ. AJ said it was selfish if you're containing it just for yourself. The other thing that I heard was how it's not for your ministry. And I think that's a pivotal perspective shift for many churches, right? You know, we did I work with different churches, and I was asking the question of members at their church, right? And I would say, hey, can you name five other churches in your city, not including your pastor? You know, and some were, you know, because maybe they've been to all five of the other churches, right? So I said, well, can you name 10? You know, and the reality is, many churches, unless someone personally invites you, or perhaps you may see it. Now, we can name some of the bigger ones that we see on television or those type. But I said in your local area, and many couldn't. So when you say things like your live streaming is not just for your members, it's for those other people that can't name a church nearby, right? I don't know how. So we're in Tampa Bay. So you can't go a couple blocks without seeing a church, right? But I don't remember the name of it. I have no idea what the service is like. And it can be intimidating if the first time I experience what the inside of this church is like is if I walk in on a Sunday morning, right? Our pastor teaches that media ministry is kind of the window, you know? And for so long, churches had stained glass windows, right? But now we can look in and we can actually see. That's interesting to catch your perspective. Selfish. I'm gonna be like, you know what? So you're just being selfish. You're just being selfish by not sharing. Talk to AJ at AJ CEO. I'd like to have a good time. So now one thing I've seen and heard when I talk to different pastors is there was a fear to drive people online. Have you experienced that? Have you heard of pastors say, you know, that they were afraid to Before COVID, right now it's, hey, you know, the internet's of Jesus. But mm-hmm. before COVID, there was a fear. Did you experience any of that from talking to different people?
Yes, all the time.
Okay.
And I have to make sure I define this because people have taken the word out of context.
Okay.
It's ignorance. Ignorance is just a lack of knowledge.
Okay.
Me personally, I call stupidity is when people accept ignorance as fact. Mm. That's the difference. Meaning that, hey, everybody is ignorant just in different subjects because we don't know everything. I say the main thing is, and I've been in church long enough that I remember the TV was called the One-Eyed Devil. I remember being somewhere where I wasn't allowed to bring a keyboard in because, I mean, that, you can only play the piano and organ. The devil comes through electricity. That's why you can't use that keyboard. I've been around long enough to hear that.
Wow.
And it's literally, and I talk about it in the book, and I can't remember all of them, but the summation of it really is this is not of God. They're falling away. We need to stay true to the living God. It's not about God's business. But at the same time, the leader who's saying that is behind the scenes trying to understand it is because they don't understand it and they feel it's going to be out of their control.
Okay.
Then once they get an understanding, look at what God has given us and blessed us with.
Right.
And it's a lack of fear and understanding because I've been around churches, especially Black churches, but I mean, just thankfully this has opened up to deal with so many other churches and we are more in common than we would want to say. We like to categorize ourselves. I've dealt with churches from Japan all the way around the globe, and we all have the exact same issues. The interesting thing is we've been to a point where a lot of times the head, and you actually started this off in your comment, it used to be that the pastor needs to be able to do everything. He needs to be a jack of all trades. He needs to be able to do this. And unfortunately, we're getting into technical aspects that are just sometimes over people's heads. So the easiest thing to say is God doesn't want this to happen, even though it says every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes from God. If it wasn't good, it would have never been present in the first place. So honestly, that first book was really just meant to say, if you don't want to do technology, just say you don't. Stop saying God doesn't want you to do, because that's not true.
Okay.
That's really all it is. But I mean, that's, and I'm probably a lost the comment question going off of that. But I mean, that's what I really think it really is. It's just that it's been fear of, I have to depend on other people to do this. Even if the pastor has the skill set, it's kind of hard to preach and then have a switcher right in front of you and adjust the camera and get the right angle, make sure consistently that the upload speed is not buffering, and you can't do it by yourself anymore.
Right. Yeah. And you bring up, man, I can definitely tell you have been around for a while, because in someone that's also been in and around media ministry and or technology, right? There's a guy, Joe Polish, he's a business guy, but he says, usually if you're not up on something, you're down on it, right? So, hey, rather than explore it and be vulnerable, hey, I don't know what to do. It's easier to say, hey, you know, we're not going to do that. Yeah, but blah, 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 blah. I definitely think some of the fear is that. Let me ask you this question about the fear that some pastors may experience. So, let me approach it this way. On a Sunday morning, right? Have you ever watched various other streams outside of the local church that you attend or work with?
Yes.
Right. So when you do that, you see different quality levels of streaming. Mm-hmm. And I've had some pastors said they were afraid to push people to watch services online or check me out online, because if they did go looking online, they would see some that may be a better quality, you know, not necessarily a better message, right? Mm-hmm. You know, hey, I'm still preaching the word, the gospel, right? But they have a bet, some may have a better understanding of streaming and technology. So they were afraid to send people to their stream or post it on Facebook, et cetera. What do you say to those pastors?
I have two thoughts on that. It's kind of what I try and teach this whole e-missionary movement of the people we have on our Facebook group is that we've spent too many times competing with each other. Mm-hmm. If I can help you and push you as a member to go somebody else, somewhere else, and you get fed and you hear the message of Jesus Christ and you get your soul saved and stuff like that, mm-hmm. then we've all won. If your concern is how many more people can I have, how many more butts can I have in my seat? Mm-hmm. Now you're in a competition. Christians are meant to complement, not to compete with that's each good. Other. And that's the first thing I would say. Secondly, that's a good thing because it shows just how much more creativity and how further you can go. Like just recently on our Facebook group, I normally always say that you can't, if you get try to post a live stream in our Facebook group, you'll get kicked out because it's not meant for spam. We're trying to train media ministries, but every 3 weeks, I do a thread to say, share your live stream for inspiration from each other, mm-hmm. not to make you feel bad. Cause at first people were feeling bad, but then you start seeing people like, wait a minute, they're live streaming with just a phone this 1 week. Mm-hmm. Oh, this person has 7 cameras. But then that other person got inspiration from somebody else. And then they were able to move higher, move higher, move higher. And now, you know what? Hey, I don't have to compete with you from a production standpoint. Mm. We can learn from each other from a production standpoint.
Right. Right. No, that's good. That's very good. I'm from the business world. And in the business world, you wanted to know what's in the marketplace so that you can see your deficiencies or hey, here's something we should work on, right? So it was an opportunity. You know, it used to be people pay big money for research on what the market is doing, right? Yeah. And now, you know, turn on Facebook and YouTube, and you can kind of see. But in the church, you make the good point about how it's not competition because there's the body of Christ, right? Yeah. The church, there's the body of Christ. And if, you know, I think some churches could use that wake up call to say, maybe I don't want to say gotten lazy, but I have gotten complacent. Mm-hmm. Right. So Bob talks about spurring one another to good works. I am really enjoying talking to you. Number one, I'm kind of, I don't want to say fanboy, but I see you, you know, I look at your vlogs, I look at your builds, I look at your, you know, tutorials, and I'm like, I'm talking to it like right now. So excuse me if I'm staring at the camera, you know, I'm not weird. I promise. I'm not weird.
I'm honored, to be quite honest. It's like this whole thing. The funny thing about it is like from outside of a media ministry thing is, and I share this story a lot, that I've been doing music for a long, long time. And I remember around 1:30 in the morning, God woke me up. It's been very few times where I can clearly hear God tell me something. He woke me up at 1:30 and said, I want you to quit music and I want you to teach my people media.
Wow.
And I'm like, man, I must have ate some bad sushi or something. And I just kept like, whatever. And surprising for most people, this was 3 years before COVID. So I was already a part of the media ministry, but he was like, I want you to leave something you've been doing for 30 years, almost 30 years, wow. and just focus on this. Wow. And everybody at my church thought I was crazy. Other people, I talked about it. And one of my friends said, AJ, my friend Kyle, he was like, AJ, I know you. You don't have an issue with following it. You just need to have reassurance that that's what God wants you to do. And when I prayed for that and then I got it again, I said, all right, if I feel this is you, this is the direction I'm going to go. And to this day, from a business standpoint, I've never advertised ever. I was doing videos. One of my top videos, how to live stream with OBS. Mm-hmm. I made that 2 years before COVID even happened. And then mm-hmm. I had like 200 or 100 people watching it.
Yeah.
It took me a year to get to 100 subscribers. And then it took another year to get to 1,000. And then within 3 months, I went from 1,000 to 15,000. And then it just went from there. And I'm like, God, I literally was just doing this just to make videos for my media ministry so that I didn't have to repeat myself. And I never thought it was going to be at this place at all.
Wow. Wow. So to those that are listening, when God shows you something, you know, God knows more than we do. So when we listen, he can provide. He can make a way out of no way, like the old preachers used to say. Won't he do it? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I took from that is one scripture that I always heard. It was like, he can do exceedingly and abundantly above everything that you can ask or think, mm-hmm. which the revelation I got on that, meaning that the onus is on us, meaning mm-hmm. that how much can you push your imagination to? Because mm-hmm. then he can do exceedingly and abundantly above that.
Super. That's good. That's good. All right. Uh-oh. Okay, AJ. Couple questions. Mm-hmm. Also about okay. Sometimes I see where those getting started or trying to live stream their ministry or show, they start off by essentially putting a camera, right? And broadcasting service, whatever they were doing now, they just put a camera in front of it so that the world can see it now, right? Mm-hmm. Do you recommend, or when you're consulting people, et cetera, do you ever recommend adjusting a person's in-person experience so that the online experience is a little different and or better, or do we just mirror what's existing?
I think mirroring is a good start for the people who this is new and they're hesitant about stepping out. What I like to tell people once they've gotten a taste of how things are is a hammer makes a bad wrench. A hammer is not good for fixing a heart.
Okay.
It's you use the tool that's applicable for the medium that you're on. So yes, putting the camera in the back, just having a window for people to see, and that's a good start. But now you're getting to the point of, hey, you know, people are at home, they're comfortable, or they're watching on their tablet and their phone. And I don't know of anybody who is going to a 2-hour service is just going to watch it on their phone and their tablet. It's uncomfortable. So why this is the, you know, it says that we don't do service. We don't do this for form or fashion. Okay. I always say that your live stream is for form or fashion, because just like you're advertising on your website, you put your best foot forward.
Right.
Like, and I don't want to get in trouble. I say this to my choir. I say this to other choirs. I say the same way. The music sounds bad. It is cut, because I don't want anything to be a distraction. I always think that if you have a bad intent and you go to Google, you will find everything to justify your bad intent. You go with a good intent, you'll find it. So my idea is, if somebody's coming to your live stream and they're already looking for something to justify why I don't need to do this church stuff, okay, they're going to find it. And I do the best that I possibly can to remove it. So, hey, I want to put the best foot forward. If the choir is not sounding good today, guess what? We don't need to include that.
Right.
We'll just do the word. So it's distraction free.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, wait a minute. This was the camera angle is bad. The sound is bad. It's this. Hey, we make an adjustment, because I want to present it to you. Because, I mean, contrary to popular belief, your video can look horrible. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Your audio, now it's offensive, because we are creatures to where if it's a screeching noise, we cringe and we want to get away from it. So that's why I always tell people who are live streaming, look, hey, you got a camera, start with that, work to get your sound as best as possible, because now they can hear the message. And, you know, but you have different platforms. Hey, you got TikTok, you have all these other ones to where you just need to, you can use that, but you can't stream the entire thing. Hey, kids who you need to get other generations involved and speak ministry to the equivalent generation. Again, your tool for what needs to be done. Hey, the attention span is short. Hey, get one of the kids to get them involved with ministry. Use TikTok and record 10-second powerful clip that's happened from there. That's it. Right. You don't have to beat people over the head with the Bible anymore. I'm at the generation, and my friend, the same one I mentioned, he's writing a book talking about generational synergy on how you speak to the different generations. And not to steal his thunder, he was talking about the baby boomer generation. You look people in the eye. That means respect. Mm-hmm. My generation and younger, looking in the eye is considered disrespect. And we're talking the same thing, but our method is different. And that's why we're battling each other inside the church as well as outside. We're saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. Instead, we're the traditional non-modern church is like, this is how we've done it. Y'all are wrong if you don't do it this way.
Right.
And that's how they're missing out on people, because they're not modern. Jesus went to where people were,
correct,
and ministered to them where they were at, not demanded them do it this way.
Correct.
Yeah, I definitely agree with contextualizing for the medium that you're on, right? We had this conversation, me and we've started now to cut out just the singing and the announcement part when we put it on YouTube. So after the live stream, so a person comes, they get the whole service, right? Mm-hmm. But we were finding in our analytics that we've done two things. We started retitling our sermons so that it isn't just, you know, I made up my mind, you know, mm-hmm. or the prodigal son, right? When they go, they don't search for, I mean, you know, it's a cute title, you know, five loaves, three fish, hey, whatever. No one's searching in five loaves and two in YouTube, right? Yep. So we've changed how we title things. And also when I find what I search for, can I get to the topic, right? Mm-hmm. Not the whole welcome everybody and blah, blah, blah. So we've started doing a little bit more contextualizing, okay, better keywords, and go right into the message, because the message is what's going to answer the question that they typed in to YouTube, for instance, right? Absolutely. So no, it's very, very smart. And I'm glad someone agrees, right? I've been telling people, listen, don't put the whole thing, you know, just contextualize it. So let me ask you, you kind of hinted toward it, but for the listeners that are trying to live stream their ministry, what are the 2 to 3 things you got to get right? Right. Hey, if you're streaming, here, 2 to 3 things, you know, the rest of the stuff you can work on, but you really got to kind of nail these 2 or 3 things.
Sound. Okay. It needs to be as clear as possible. Get whoever's preaching to address the house as well as the people who are watching. Don't let the people who are watching feel like second-rate citizens. Meaning, if you take a second to say, like, hey, how did you feel about this? And how did you feel like this? But those online, did you think, I mean, acknowledge them.
Right.
Because it's just like your online congregation is like the overflow in the other part of the building because they can't fit in. That's really all it is.
I remember.
And you need to address them.
Yeah.
You know, those are the first two things I would say. And then also co-sign the medium that you're on. meaning that it does so much. The media ministry can do everything possible. But if you don't have leadership, say, any type of co-signing to what's being done, you're moving one step forward and two steps back. They don't have to understand it. Mm-hmm. They just need to be like, you know what? Hey, as simple as, hey, good morning, everybody. And those who are able to join us online, thank you for joining us. Something as simple as that. Hey, we appreciate that God has given us a way for us to communicate with you if you're not able to physically join here. And no matter what, if you're here in person, we'll welcome you and we'll give you an e-hug online as well. If you're able, you don't have to be corny, but acknowledge that the fact that this is not just a Band-Aid on a broken leg. This is ministry. So this goes with not just the people in the media ministry, but it's other people that work with the media ministry know that, hey, y'all ain't just this the tech people that's pulling cable and plugging in stuff. Mm. No, y'all are an extension of us in ministry as well too. And you, like, we have one ministry that I've worked with, the church, the building can physically only hold 50 people.
Okay.
But they made it a mission to acknowledge the people online, welcome them the same way. Greeters, they did the same thing. They had an Easter service. They had 250 guests show up. Wow. And they said the only reason why they came, because we felt so much from online, we had to go in person. Wow. Just to do that. So for those who think, man, if we start live streaming, people aren't going to come. No, it's the same way. If you start looking at that Tesla, sooner or later, are you going to go to a dealership to try and test drive it? You know, people think this is going to push people away. Mm-hmm. It really brings people.
That's good, man. That, you know, sometimes you ask a question and you think you know where a person's going to go, right? So you went left on me, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it because it shows the different perspectives in the ministry. It just shows a different perspective in the impact you're having and your voice, and then the impact that we're having with our voice. So it's I don't know about you. You might just be like, hey, this is, you know, hey, I got 20 today. Come on, Lee, let's do this. But I am geeking out. But anyway, let's see. Okay, I'm looking at the clock. So how can we find out more about you and kind of connect with you? And then I'm going to close with another question.
You can find me everywhere at AJ the CEO, AJAY, the CEO, no space. I'm on YouTube. We have a Facebook group. I mean, you can look at AJHolmes.com, AJTheCEO.com. I mean, I try the same stuff that I do with my presence is what I try and teach ministries to do. So if I'm telling people, like, you need to have a home base, home base is AJHolmes.com. Everything that I do on social media is there. And it branches off, but I still leverage everything else. And that's where you can find me. Like I said, I'm not a big TikToker just because I do long form content. Okay. And I tried to do the short stuff, but that's just not me. I know my strengths. When I bring on some more team that can handle that, I've secured my name, the brand, on each platform. So you don't have to look for AJ the CEO _2 here and stuff like that. but yeah, you can find me everywhere at AJ the CEO.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. And now one last thing for those that are looking to build their media ministry, right? So as I've talked to pastors and different people, I see two kind of schools of thought. Right, for building a team. I know some churches have various levels of resources, right? Mm-hmm. So some, they go out and look for people with certain skill sets, right? So at our church, our audio person is an audio engineer, right? So some are, hey, we're going to go and find a person. This is their skill set, professional audio, et cetera. And some are kind of the, hey, you know what? Whoever wills, you know, and we'll kind of train them and give them the grace to stumble along the way while they're learning the process, right? So is there a preferred method that you would give pastors that are looking to build this this presence online or start streaming? Hey, go find somebody, or just kind of, you know, give opportunity.
I have two approaches to that. The first one I would say is a hybrid of what you said. I would just do both. But in both of them, they have to have a willing and teachable spirit. I have the mindset of it's easier to pull a wet noodle than to push one. Cause that's going to be a job. I'm like, I tell my media ministry all the time. I said, look, everybody has skill sets. If this ain't yours or your season is over, I am not mad if you want to leave. I want to help you find wherever your skill is right now. Like, my season was in music, then it became media. Now it's back to doing both. Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody, if I did that, that's everybody else. So I just think that if you got somebody that joins, it's like, look, I'm an audio engineer and y'all got to listen to me right there. That's not a teachable spirit. You might have the skill set, but you're going to be a pain. And I want to prejudge, but I'm just saying, they need to have a teachable spirit. That's one school of thought. Now, for those that don't have anything, mm-hmm. and you don't have the budget to go out, you don't have anybody to volunteer, at that point, I recommend that you catch yourself on fire and then let people come and watch you burn. Meaning that,
right,
like at my church, there was a lot of concepts, and you talked about it, the vlog. I've been wanting to do a virtual choir for a very long time and really didn't have anything going on. So I had to just, you know what? I'm going to have to learn it, do it myself, and then give people a proof of concept, because most people, I would hope the body would know it's believing is seeing, not seeing is believing. I don't want to get that deep with everybody, but some people need to see it before they can believe it. So I'm going to be the example and show. And now what I did is, I remember in our media ministry, I had a lot of people saying, AJ, well, you're making video announcements. Why don't you make an announcement asking for members to join the media ministry? No. Well, we need more people. No. Well, what are you going to do? I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, which is, if I'm the only one that's going to do it, I'm going to make announcements. I'm going to do YouTube videos. I'm going to do this. And then what happened right before COVID, we had 17 youth from the ages of 12 up to 32 volunteered to join. I didn't ask them anything.
Wow.
And they were like, why did you want to join? Because I keep seeing you come up on YouTube talking about what you're doing here at this church. I never thought, out of me watching all the other stuff on YouTube, I would ever see Christian-based stuff showing up, and I know the person that's doing it. And it was like, so in other words, I would rather have people volunteer instead of being voluntold.
Okay.
And that, you know, that made it so much easier, because now if I have to recruit you, it's also my responsibility to keep you in. If you volunteer, said, choose me, pick me, I will come. Now it's, the onus is on you. I don't have to do anything.
That's good. Man. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I don't have, if I had a 3-hour podcast, we can get into, you know, streaming funerals, streaming prayer calls, and all kinds of different things. But I do know, I have seen a lot of these applications on your YouTube channel. So I recommend anyone go over, do a search on AJ the CEO on YouTube, quality content, and from a really good dude. Well, this is Lee Fuller, and you've been listening to the Live Stream Your Ministry podcast, where we believe you have a message to tell, and live streaming is the way to do it. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you guys next time. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.